This is the Trails Church podcast. At the Trails Church, our mission is to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community and on mission. If you'd like more information about our church, visit our website, thetrails.org. Now, here's today's podcast.
Open your Bible with me to Psalm 67. One of my favorite moments in our weekly gathering is the benediction. To be clear, I love everything that we do together, from the call to worship to that final word, but I especially look forward to this blessing pronounced each Lord's Day. The word benediction means a pronouncement of God's favor upon an assembled congregation. So a benediction is a pronouncement of God's blessing. And we see this pattern scattered throughout the pages of Scripture. In Genesis 27, 27 to 29, Isaac blessed Jacob, saying, "May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you." As we make our way to the New Testament in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 50, as Jesus ascended, he lifted his hands and said, "Blessing over his people." Through the pastoral epistles, there are many different kinds of benedictions listed. One that we're very familiar with is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So the final act of our worship gathering each Lord's Day is receiving a benediction, the blessing of God pronounced over us before this congregation scatters to and fro. One of the most well-worn benedictions in Scripture is found in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord instructs Moses to tell his brother Aaron and Aaron's sons, who are the priests of Israel, that they are to bless the people of God in a specific sort of way. This is why sometimes this little text is referred to as the Aaronic blessing, the blessing of Aaron on the people of God. So just listen to these words this morning with an open ear. And I pray by God's grace with an open heart. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Notice how each phrase, each line of that blessing begins with the Lord. It petitions him in specific, gracious, loving ways to those who know him. It asks that God would bless and keep his people, recalling his protection and nearness. It pleads for the warmth of God's face to shine and smile down upon his people. And it concludes asking that God would give his people shalom. Perfect peace. What a beautiful benediction. And I wonder how many times I've pronounced that to you at the end of a service, how many times you've received it. But just together to pause for a moment and consider it, because while many of us appreciate those words and even welcome them, I want us to wonder together why God pronounces blessings over his people at all. What's the purpose behind these blessings being spoken over one another? So just imagine for a moment if you could play back an audio recording of your prayer life this week. Every word that you brought before the Lord in prayer, if we could hear a recording of those prayers, my guess is that they would ask for the blessing of God on something, maybe on a meal. By the way, if you pray for God's blessing on fast food, it doesn't work. But maybe you asked God's blessing on your family. Perhaps this church, on a business deal you weren't sure would go through, a difficult situation, a challenging conversation, and rightly so. The scripture teaches us, God invites us to pray that way, to ask his blessing upon all of these areas of our life. But our text today won't allow us to stop at just receiving God's blessings. It shows us that there is divine purpose to every one of them. It causes us to stop and ask, what is the purpose of God's blessing in our lives? That's the question Psalm 67 answers. What is the purpose of God's blessing in our lives? Psalm 67 shows us that God's blessing rests on his people so that his ways might be known among the earth and his name glorified above all things. It teaches us to pray joy-filled, God-centered, gospel-advancing prayers for our lives as believers, for our church here together. And I want to divide the prayer of the psalm into three parts, teaching us to pray first, God, may your blessing rest upon us. Second, let the nations be glad. And third, may you continue to bless us. So we have our heading. Let me encourage you to stand to your feet as we hear now from God's holy and inerrant word, Psalm 67. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. In the first part of this glorious prayer, we learn to pray, God, may your blessing rest upon us, verses 1 and 2. This is a happy psalm. You can feel its gladness coursing through this lyrics with hope. It's a passionate prayer that God would bless his people, and it is a prayerful psalm with each step. If you look carefully, you'll notice there are three requests all packed into verse 1 alone, each asking specifically something of the Lord. The first plea is that God would be gracious to us. David approaches the throne of God asking this petition based on his grace. He's interceding on behalf of the people, the whole nation, and he's acknowledging that anything that comes to them comes by the gracious hand of God, completely undeserved. Already our pride starts to unhinge from around our hearts, knowing that everything we've been given has come from the grace of God. Of course, this prayer is rooted in the very nature of God. When the Lord, the God of self-disclosure, introduces himself to the Hebrews in Exodus chapter 34. He says, "The Lord, the Lord." And then the very first thing out of his mouth is merciful and gracious. Merciful and gracious. You can find that in Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. And so David's prayer begins by asking God to be what he has always been, gracious. The second request from the lips of the psalmist is that God might bless us. There's no qualifications given to this request, not bless me in this area or bless me in that. It's a comprehensive ask. He doesn't mention his family or his vocation or the security of the nation. Likely all of those things are in view. So why are none of them mentioned? Because here, David asks that the attending hand of the Lord superintend everything they set their hand to strengthen their hands as they work by the powerful hand of God. Blessedness in Scripture is always more than physical. It's deeply spiritual. Psalm 1 teaches us that true blessedness is found walking not in the way of sinners, or standing in the seat of scoffers, but delighting in the law of the Lord. So the psalmist prays that God's people would be blessed. And then the third request is to make his face shine upon us. And as we reach the end of verse 1, you'll likely recognize a familiar pattern to these words. Listen to them. Be gracious to us. Bless us, cause your face to shine upon us. Yes, David is borrowing here from the Aaronic blessing we just looked at. So he's taking Scripture, and now he's writing a song from Scripture. He's plagiarizing. Songwriters do this all the time from the Bible, especially this one. Only, did you catch just a small tweak in the lyric? Instead of may the Lord bless you, he sings, may the Lord bless who? Us. Us. Keep trying, little one. You'll get it. So why the lyric change? Well, the psalmist here takes this benediction of old and makes it sing. He turns the Scripture into a song for the people of God to sing, to make it their own. God be gracious to us. God bless us. God make your face shine upon us. Learning to pray this was vital for the nation of Israel. Learning to pray this is vital for us as the Israel of God. There is no deeper peace than to know the grace of God poured out in our lives. There is no wider joy than to live in the blessing of God. There is no higher delight than to know the smile of God over your life. And where are all of these things found? In Christ they are found. So how has God, for us today, been gracious to us? By sending his one and only Son to live and die and rise again in our place. How has God blessed us? Oh, we've been blessed in the Beloved with every spiritual blessing. You're telling me that you believe that God himself smiles down on your life? That's exactly what I'm saying. It feels pretty audacious, doesn't it? How can you know that's true? Because over the life of the Christian is the blood of Christ, which cleanses us and purifies us from all unrighteousness, so that when God looks at us, he delights in us because all he sees is what he's done to make us his own. These are the gifts that are ours in Christ. This is true blessedness. Grace, ours. Blessings, ours. The presence of God, ours. Is this reason for great rejoicing in your heart this morning? Oh, I pray it would be. We have been given everything in Christ. So we would do well to echo this prayer for our lives, for the church, asking, God, may your blessing rest on us. The second aspect to the prayer of Psalm 67 is punctuated with this wonderful phrase, let the nations be glad. Let the nations be glad. We witness this through the rest of the psalm, God blesses his people in order that they might be a blessing to the world. There is a driving purpose behind every blessing of God. Where do we see that in the text, Boswell? I'm so glad you asked. There is a massive hinge that this truth swings on between verse 1 and verse 2 that gives divine purpose for every blessing of God. Now, depending on the translation of the Bible you hold in your hand, you may not see it, but there should be the preposition that at the beginning of verse 2. The word that is circled in my Bible as a reminder to my forgetful heart. So here is where purpose is given for every blessing God bestows on his people. This is what David's saying. God, be gracious to me so that I might make your grace known to the peoples of the world. God, bless us so that we might be a blessing to the peoples of this world. That's a weird word for us. Peoples, it's a right word. I'm not mispronouncing. It's peoples. It's ethnos. It's people groups. It's language groups. Over 6,000 of them in the world. All of them. God, shine the glory of your face on us so that we might shine the light of the gospel into a dark world. The prayer is rightly asking for God's blessing on its people, but it's not so that those blessings might fall into our lives and then keep going down like into the Dead Sea in Israel. No, it's so the water of God's blessings might pour down on our lives with fresh rain. And as it falls onto our lives, that we would be like channels of blessing to those around us. Things don't terminate on us. They're meant to just go through us, bringing life to the world. If you listen closely, you hear an echo in this prayer that is introduced in Genesis chapter 12. God is speaking to Abraham. There the Lord, I want you to listen carefully to this, how the Lord says he's going to bless Abram so that. Listen for the so that. This is Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What I want you to see here, the point of Psalm 67, is that God blesses his people so that the nations of the world might be blessed ultimately in Jesus. So as we think about blessings, it's a multifaceted response. So in late November, we think about God's blessings, and what's the right response? Thankfulness, right? So is it right and good to be thankful for every blessing that comes from the hand of God? Yes. But what's happening here is more, yes, we start with thankfulness and gratitude, but then we take all of these things that come down from the Father of lights and we push them forward. We propel these things forward. We don't want these blessings to be cut short of their intent. And so there's three specific purposes for why God blesses our lives in these next few verses. The first purpose is that God would be known, verse 2. The psalmist prays that God's ways and his salvation would be made known in the world. The salvation that's mentioned here is the saving act of God. The ways that are mentioned here are often through the Old Testament, the grace and mercy and kindness of God that leads sinners to find redemption in him. But how are the ways of God made known? How do we know these ways? Well, we know that God has revealed himself by divine revelation. Divine revelation. God has revealed himself wonderfully in Scripture. I'm sorry, wonderfully in nature. We'll get to Scripture in a minute. Just lost track of my thought there. So in nature, God has perfectly revealed himself in his word, in Scripture. And God has supremely revealed himself in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So by divine revelation, yet his ways and salvation are also made known through glad proclamation. That's us, a people who have been redeemed, telling, proclaiming, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Christ. The Great Commission is an expression of this. It sends us to teach all people to observe all that Christ has commanded so that God's way would be known in the earth. So, Matthew 28, 19, and 20 is one small way of Jesus answering the prayer of Psalm 67. Jesus, the divine revelation of God, now sending his people to gladly proclaim the salvation and the works of God so that the cure of the gospel would be proclaimed as far as the curse is found. The second purpose in God's blessings is that God would be enjoyed. And this is where we have to pause together, and even before looking at the text, to think through it. So the gifts that God gives are meant to be blessings. And I'm looking around a room full of people. Our hands are full of blessings, are they not? Those things aren't meant to just be enjoyed and hoarded. No, every gift that comes from the Father above is meant to be responded to in praise to the giver. Our hearts cannot delight in the things given. Our hearts must delight in the giver himself. This is why the Lord gives us gifts, so that we might delight in him ultimately. And so as we ascend this, if Psalm 67 was a mountain, this is the peak. Psalm 67, verse 4. And what do we find there? Gladness, joy. We've reached the highest point of the song. Why? Because the Christian faith is one of gladness and joy in God. We have so much to sing of. And so as David reaches the heights of his praise, it's fascinating what he does because he also digs down deep and makes sure the foundation of our praise is sure and steady. There's two specific reasons he gives in his delighting in God here. First, he says the nations of the world were tuned their song to sing God's praise because his God judges the people with equity. This is good news. Our God judges the peoples of the world with perfect righteousness, with unparalleled fairness. He is the king of justice. He judges sin, but he is good. And second, the peoples of the earth can delight in God, can bring him praise because our God guides the nations upon the earth, he says in verse 4. The verb guide is the same one used in Psalm 23 as David sings of the good shepherd who guides him to still waters. It's used again in Psalm 78:14, where God guides his people through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The joy of the nations is rooted in this great truth, that there is one God who is good and righteous, and he judges and rules over all things and all peoples. He leads, he steers, he orchestrates the affairs of the earth like streams of water in his hand. He leads them to where he has predestined that they would go. And in his grace, he's leading the nations. One day where every tribe and every tongue and every people will gather around the throne of God and declare praise and glory with hearts full of joy in Jesus. The third purpose in God's blessings found here is that God would be praised. So that God would be known, that God would be enjoyed, and now that God would be praised. The word praise is echoed four times through the psalm. We begin to see what God is ultimately after, the praise of his people. Praise as people come to know Yahweh, to trust in his salvation. And we, The people of God have been transformed from idolaters to worshipers. Our lips once boasted of self, now they boast of Christ. Our hearts once gloried in created things, now they glory in the uncreated one. We were once enemies of God, but now we gladly sing his praise. So yes, let peoples praise God for who he is and for all he has done. That is the message of Psalm 67, verses 2 through 6. It tells us so what about the blessings of God? And the answer, so that God might be praised and so that our greatest delight might be found in him. I'm not sure if you saw it, but our little community was mentioned in the Wall Street Journal this week. And the thesis of the article was that our little community is not so little anymore. And it's going to, Lord willing, continue to grow in the years to come, larger and larger. And it was a well-written article. It was helpful. I had friends from all over the world sending it to me. And it talked about the population growth that we've experienced. So people from all over the world are moving here. And we've seen that, right? Which is a good thing, except for traffic. We'll talk about that later. But that's good that people want to move here to this place where the Lord has planted us. There was also mention of the economic impact of this community and just how God, for whatever reason, has blessed uniquely this area financially and how that looks like it will continue to happen as well. And those are all exciting realities for our area. And as I read the article, I was excited too. I was grateful that the Lord called us to build a life here and to plant a church here. But what the author didn't mention was how people I know have moved here for jobs or for more room or whatever it may be. And this is where Jesus found them. And this is where they came to faith in Christ and were baptized and are being discipled. The thing that was missing from the article was the good news of gospel growth happening here. The thing that wasn't highlighted was the opportunity for gospel work that is made possible here. And it just made me wonder, as we hear about the growth of our area, as we hear about the population increasing and the economic impact of our area, as often as we hear about that, does it make us think about gospel growth in this area? Because if people move here from all over the world and everybody gets rich and nobody comes to know Jesus, it all burns. And so the mission opportunity we have in reaching our neighbors and the nations of the world is right here in our own zip code. And so I thought about this, just holding up these couple of questions to my own life yesterday. I even texted these questions to my oldest son this morning because I want him to think about it. And I want you to think about it as well. Here are the two questions. First, how are you going to steward the blessings in your life? How are you going to steward the blessings in your life? And I mean for the sake of Christ. The second question is honestly just a reiteration of the first question, but from a different angle, asking perhaps a slightly different question. Now that you're utterly confused, here's what it is. What are you going to do with the gifts God has given you? What are you going to do with the gifts God has given you? What if God's purpose of blessing your career wasn't just to make a name for yourself, but to bring glory to his name? What if the purpose of your home wasn't to create a castle to protect you from your neighbors, but a place of warm hospitality for people very different than you? Or what about this? What if your net worth wasn't something you're piling up just to spend your later years playing golf and living by the beach. But what if it was so that you could steward your life in the later years of your life for the glory of God among these neighbors and among the nations of the world? The gospel calls us to ask different questions. The gospel invites us to live in a different way. So I'm grateful for the Wall Street Journal article on this little place. I don't want more people to move here, really, but we'll take them. But what if there was a different kind of article written? What if 10 years down the road, there's another Wall Street Journal article written, and above the fold of the paper says, "Look what God has done." And instead of praising population and economics, the thing that was being praised was the name of Jesus for what he's done so powerfully in this region that the whole world is going to hear about it. Not for the sake of this region, but for the glory of Christ. That's the kind of Wall Street Journal article I want to read. Oh, I pray. Would you pray with me? We'll see a headline like that. Let's pray and plan and work and pray and plan and work. We might see that kind of headline written about this place. That our neighbors and the nations would be glad in God. The third prayer we learn to pray from Psalm 67 is this: Lord, continue to bless us. As we reflect on, just for a moment, the conclusion of this psalm, the first reality we're met with is a promise. David looks into the future and is so sure the Lord will continue to bless his people. He says it twice in a row. God shall bless us. His heart doesn't look into the future with fear. He's not plagued with doubt, but he's confident. He knows who the Lord is. He knows who holds his future. And then the final words of the psalm lead back to the beginning with a prayer. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So there is a promise and there is a prayer. The application of this final point and perhaps of the whole text, what I'd like to do in just a moment is to pray through the words of Psalm 67 as a prayer, as a blessing over you, the Trails Church. That's what I want to do in just a moment. But first, I want to invite you to a prayer meeting happening tonight at 5 p.m. where this is what we're going to do for an entire hour. What I'm about to do with Psalm 67, I'm modeling for you what we're going to do tonight. So you'll come with a part of Scripture that the Lord has been pressing on your heart, and we're going to offer those Scriptures back to the Lord in a chorus of Scripture being prayed. And here it is, the pronouncement of God's blessing. Would you bow your head and let's pray together. Psalm 67, this glorious benediction. Oh God, be gracious to us and bless us. Make your face to shine upon us. And like the psalmist, we don't mean that in one specific area. We mean this just comprehensively. Our lives are laid before you as an offering of worship. We ask, Lord, be gracious to us as your people. Bless us in the beloved. Let our blessings be namely spiritual. Let your face shine upon us, shine upon our homes, shine upon our children, upon our neighbors, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. And Lord, let us be faithful to speak, to proclaim your ways and your saving power to those you've placed in our lives so that they would praise you, O God. And we pray, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations of the world be glad and sing for joy. Nations where it seems like there's very little gospel activity happening, nations where the government may be against the spread of the gospel, let those nations join our gladness and sing for joy. God, lift our eyes to behold you as the judge of all, who judges with perfect equity, the guide of the nations, who steers and sustains and ordains all things. for your great glory and for our eternal good. We look at our lives and the blessings that we hold, we can see that they've yielded increase. God, we thank you for that. As we look into the future, let it be with faith, knowing that you are the same God yesterday and today and forever. The God whose heart, for those of us who are in Christ, is blessing on blessing we've been given in him. Let all the ends of the earth fear you, O God. We ask in Jesus' saving name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from The Trails Church. We hope you have been encouraged, equipped, and edified by time spent together in God's Word. And again, if you'd like to find out more about The Trails Church, visit our website, thetrails.org.